to the time when we arrived here, left it all in the hands of the Lord whether we'd get here or not. I've learned a few things, and one of the things that I've learned is that if the Lord isn't willing, we can't even live, let alone go anywhere or do anything. So I pray that if the Lord is willing, that I could get here and preach. He'd have his way in each of our hearts and lives. I do thank you for the, in behalf of our folks in Murray and the Church of Cairo, who we work with as a missionary, for the great offering you folks have given us. The building is going up now. It's kind of slow doing, but it wasn't all the contractor's fault. I don't get in too big of a hurry when it comes to doing things for the Lord, and I certainly don't want to waste his money. So we try to use it wisely, use it according to God's will, and so far it's always worked. Haven't had any problems whatsoever. We'll tell you more about it, perhaps about the work Wednesday night, the Lord willing. I do want to say that we did, when we left last night after services, we left some sick folks back there in the mission, and one of them is very sick. He has cancer, and one of the most faithful members we have, and he never misses. He's always sick. He never misses. He even has to take care of some of the services while we're gone, and he just does the best he can. Never complains, never says he can't. He just goes right on. But I told him we'd be praying for him, and so I want you to do that. I could see as I was preaching last night, and his eyes begin to water and turn red, and those folks aren't like that. It has to be of the Lord for them to show any emotions at all, but we thank God for his mercies and his blessings upon us. So you pray for us even tonight, that God will bless us all together. If you have your Bibles, and I'm going to turn this on. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Psalms in Psalm 51. In the 51st Psalm. In this Psalm, I'm sure that these verses of Scripture has been preached many times. Won't be anything new. Don't claim to have anything new. But it's what God has laid upon our hearts to preach tonight. In Psalm 51, we find David speaking to his God, speaking unto his Lord. And David is speaking unto the Lord concerning his own spiritual condition in this life. Listen to him in Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy, is his cry. Make me to hear joy and gladness, in order or that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And notice these next few words in verse 10. And renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. Let me ask you something tonight before we go any further. Everybody that's here, you answer the question for yourself because you're the only one that knows other than God Almighty. What kind of a spirit brought you here tonight? What kind of a spirit was in you when you arrived here tonight? What kind of a spirit did you arrive here in tonight for these services? It'll make all the difference concerning what kind of a spirit you were in when you arrived for these services. David speaking unto God. One of David's prayers was, renew a right spirit within me. You see, David was concerned about himself, about his own spiritual condition. And many times we come to services like these and our hearts and minds are upon somebody else's spiritual condition. When if you and I, if we're going to do anything, if there's going to be a revival among God's people, then you and I must deal with it individually within ourselves. It's not about others. It's about you. It's about me as individuals. David said, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. When his son Solomon prayed, he said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Have you ever heard anybody? Have you ever heard anyone? Or how long has it been since you heard anyone pray unto God and say, Lord, would you give me an understanding heart and renew a right spirit within me? Have you ever heard anybody pray like that? I've been in a lot of services, but I can't recall very many or any at all where you could hear some brother or someone pray, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. David is not talking about the Holy Spirit. You cannot renew the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need to be renewed. But he's talking about his own spirit. That word spirit here has to do with his disposition. If I ask you, what kind of a spirit did you arrive with this evening? I'm asking you about your disposition. What kind of a disposition? What was your condition when you got here tonight? When you arrived for the services. It speaks of your attitude. What kind of an attitude did you have when you arrived here? Whatever kind of disposition, whatever kind or manner of attitude you arrived here with, that's the kind of spirit that you entered into these services with tonight. It has to do with your emotional state. Has to do with your emotional state. What kind of an emotional state did you arrive with for these services? Think about it. Think about the spirit in which you arrived here tonight. What's your attitude toward these services? What's your attitude toward the church? What's your attitude toward the preaching? What's your attitude concerning your life, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your work? How did you arrive here tonight? Were you in a good spiritual shape? Or did it matter at all? Did it matter to you in what kind of a shape, with what kind of an attitude, with what kind of a disposition or emotional state you arrived just so you got here? Was there any more to it than that? Why are we here tonight? Are we here because it's a duty that we must perform? Are we here tonight because it's our duty to show up? Are we here because we have a spirit that leads us to do the very things we're doing tonight? David was in a terrible shape as he talked to God. In Psalm 51 and verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." David couldn't get away from his own sins. David couldn't get away from that which he had committed against God, against his family, against another. David said, "It's always before me. And now I confess it unto you, O God. Ask you to blot it out for Jesus' sake." In verse 8, look at what kind of a disposition, look at the emotional state that he was in at the moment he prayed to God. In verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness that are in order, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." David said, "It's been a long time since I've been able to rejoice. It's been a long time since I've been able to enjoy really living, really approaching the very holiness and presence of God in my life." His emotional state wasn't very good. His attitude toward God and others wasn't very good. And it was as though every bone in his body was aching because of the spirit that was within him. It was not a spirit of joy. It was not a spirit of worship. It was not a spirit of love. It was not a spirit of serving God. It was not a spirit of repentance. Spirit of faith, a spirit of prayer. And so he cries out unto the Lord, "O God, renew a right spirit within me." Every one of us need to learn to pray daily, "Lord, renew a right spirit within me." It doesn't take much for you and I to get into a bad spirit or a bad spirit get within us. It doesn't take much for a husband and his wife to fall out, even if it's just for a few moments or a few hours or a few days. Bad spirit within us. There are all kinds of bad spirits in the world today. And you can have more than one kind of a spirit. I jotted down a few. There's a spirit of rebellion. There's a spirit of stubbornness. A spirit of selfishness. A spirit of lying. A spirit of cheating. A sad spirit. A spirit of depression. A spirit of discouragement. A spirit of confusion. A spirit of distrust. There's a spirit of murmuring and grumbling. And there is certainly a spirit of hypocrisy. And on we could go. with that which will have to do with your life and mine. And it certainly is going to have something to do with this service tonight and every service that God allows us to enter into this week. I'm talking about the kind of spirit that we come to the house of God and live our lives daily with. The kind of spirit that's within you tonight and within me. What kind of a spirit is it? What kind of a spirit was it? If it was bad, if it was wrong, I hope it's not there now. I hope you've already prayed like David. Lord, renew a right spirit within me. You're not going to be able to get along with anybody. You're not going to be able to be happy. You're not going to be free. You're not going to have the victories until you get a right spirit within you. And certainly David knew where that kind of a spirit came from. A right spirit comes from God. A right spirit comes when you're willing to pray and ask God to renew a right spirit within you. We need a right spirit tonight, don't we, among God's people? We come to the house of God. We want to see souls saved. We want to see sinners come under conviction. And yet there's very little right spirit among us. Don't even stop to consider what kind of a spirit we come to the services at God's house in, or what kind of a spirit has been driving us and leading us throughout the day. I tell you what we need tonight, folks. We not only need it tonight, we need it every day, all day long. And that is, we need a right spirit of repentance, prayer, and love. We need a right spirit of repentance. You don't see much repenting going on today, do you? Why is it, folks? Think about it. Why is there very little repentance going on today, even in the lives of God's people? Because in order to repent, in order to truly repent toward God because of sin, you've got to have a right spirit. A proud spirit will never truly repent toward God. A proud spirit will never confess sin to God. It'll be a confession of hypocrisy. But a right spirit will cause us to repent of our sins toward God. A right spirit of repentance. A right spirit of prayer. We go through our daily prayer sometimes, and there's no real spirit in our praying. I must talk to God even if I don't have the right spirit about me. We can come to a service like this, bow our heads, join together in prayer, and do it all with the wrong kind of a spirit. Let your jobs, your work, family affairs, your feelings, your aches, your pains, your problems and troubles keep you from having the kind of spirit you ought to have when you come to the house of God. Spirit of love. I'm talking about the right kind of love, folks. I mean, I'm talking about one that has to do with your disposition. A spirit of love. I'm talking about the kind that has something to do with your attitude. You think about it. Husbands and wives, sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ. What kind of an attitude do you have? Is it governed by a spirit of love? What kind of an attitude do you have as a church member? Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. He's talking about a right spirit of love, folks. He's talking about a spirit of love that will cause you to love God, that will cause you to love one another, that will cause you to love your wife, your husband, in such a manner that there won't always be a fight, there won't always be the snapping and the growling. There'll be some compassion, be some understanding. How in the world, in 1 John chapter 4, let me read it to you. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, we find John talking about this spirit of love that we are to manifest. In 1 John chapter 4, and verse 20, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, John said, if a man say, it's easy to say it, isn't it, folks? Now you listen to this. If a man say, I love God, anybody here tonight that would stand up and say, I don't love God, I hate him. No. If we were forced into it, folks, if we were confronted with it, probably everybody here would say, I love the Lord. Listen to this. In verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Spirit of love. A spirit of love. A spirit that will cause you not only to love, but to enjoy loving one another. To enjoy loving others. To enjoy loving those you work with. He said, you don't know that bunch I work with. No, I don't, but you don't know those bunches that I always work with either. But there is such a spirit of love, folks, that you can enjoy loving them in spite. You say, that's why I don't love them, Brother Hall, because of what they are. Then you just go back a little while, back there in history, and remember what you were when God was still loving you in spite of what you were, even in spite of what you are tonight. But if there's going to be a real revival, there's going to have to be a real spirit within us. It's going to have to be a right spirit. It's going to have to be a spirit of repentance, a spirit of prayer. It's going to have to be a spirit of love. Going to have to be a spirit of willingness. Willing to get right with God. Willing to be honest about ourselves before God. There is a lot of hypocrisy even in our lives tonight. I don't like to admit it. But there is when you think about it. There are lots of times we pretend. We do it because we think that's what people want to hear. How are you tonight? I'm fine. Can't hardly wait to get home to get to the medicine bottle. You ever think about all the squabbles at home? You ever think about those squabbles at home? What do you think it is that causes those things to not only begin, but just continue? It's a bad spirit. A right spirit would put an end to squabbles between husbands and wives and families. A right spirit would put an end to the squabbles and the fussing and the fighting among church members. A right spirit would do that. When a family splits up, when a husband goes one way and a wife goes the other, what do you think that is that causes such a split? It's a bad spirit that causes families to separate. It's a bad spirit that causes people not able to get along with one another. A right spirit will draw you closer and closer together. Even in a church. You wouldn't have to be afraid of church splits, church squabbles. If you'd always be sure that you come to the house of God with a right spirit. I've seen people jump up. We've only got a little time. Hurry up. We've got to get there. It's almost time for church to start. It's almost time for Sunday school. What in the world you been doing? Where you been? It's time to go. You fuss all the way to the church house, and then when you come into the building, you sort of draw a truce. Put a smile on your face, calm down, come in, and you sit there. And all the time, if you don't get that right spirit about you, you know what's going to happen as soon as it's over and you get in the car. Where did we leave off? Bad spirit. A bad spirit, you see. It's something that sometimes God's people themselves just take it for granted. That's the way we ought to live, but it isn't. There's more to living than just living with a bad spirit within us. When David said, Lord, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. Renew within me a right spirit. A right spirit of worship. A right spirit of love. The problems and all of these things come, folks. All of these things come because of a bad spirit. You say, yes, Brother Hall, you've got my wife pegged. Oh, sure, brother. I've got you pegged too. You see, there's not going to be any argument unless there's two of you doing it. A bad spirit is a thing that's hindering us tonight in so many ways. Not only should there be a right spirit of repentance and prayer and love, but I tell you, we need a right spirit of worshiping God. You come to the house of God, and how many... You don't have to raise your hand, but you answer for yourself in the sight of God tonight. How many of you actually came to worship God? How many of you came to worship God? Or did you just get here? Did you have a real purpose for coming? What was your reason for being here tonight? Was it nothing more than just because you're a member or because you promised someone you would be here? Or is there some kind of a spirit within you that brought you because you wanted to worship God? In John chapter 4 and verse 24, most of you could quote it. I probably could too. But it'll be safer for me to read it to you. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, these are the words of Jesus. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him. Did you come to worship tonight? Then listen to what Jesus said. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can come to the house of God and never worship. There'll be thousands of people in Genesee County this Sunday that will go to church, and very few of them will go to worship. They'll go to church, but they won't go to worship. It's concerning. It has to do with the spirit within you. Whether you'll go to church or whether you'll go to worship. There ought to be a spirit of worship in the heart and soul of every child of God here tonight, especially the members of the Home Baptist Church. There ought to be a spirit of worship within your heart and soul right now. I don't mean that we ought to worship men. I don't want to worship a man. I don't want to worship the church. I don't want to worship the Bible. I want to worship God. But you can't do it without a right spirit. And only God can give that right spirit. You can't get it anywhere else. We ought to be able to worship God with our presence. I'm telling you folks that when we come to the house of God, our presence ought to mean something to God. It ought to be part of our worship, just our presence. I was thinking tonight of how that probably there's some that could be, should be, but they're not here tonight. But let me let you in on something tonight, folks. There are a whole lot more congregated here tonight than you can see with the natural eye. Remember the song that the choir sang? There are the angels of God that are gathered tonight in our midst, and they want to see, and they want to hear their God being worshiped with a right spirit. They're looking in on the services of Home Baptist Church tonight to learn from us to worship God. But to worship God, you have to have a right spirit. Not only in our presence, but in our praying, in our tithing, in our giving. You're not going to be able to tithe. You're not going to be able to give an offering unto God like you ought to if you don't have a right spirit about you. You say, you don't know what I give. No, I don't, but God does. And He knows with what kind of a spirit you give it. Don't you want it to mean something to the Lord when you give? Don't you want it to mean something to God when you tithe? Then wouldn't it be far better to just pray, oh God, renew a right spirit within me as I bring my tithes and give my offerings unto You. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me as I begin to talk to You in prayer. God, when I get ready to meet these folks, when I get ready to shake that brother or sister's hand, give me a right spirit so I can do it properly to worship You. Singing. You know how you ought to sing when you come to the house of God? Let me show you how a New Testament Baptist church ought to sing when they come to the house of God and why. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, in Colossians chapter 3, in Colossians chapter 3, and let's read verses 15 through 17. In Colossians 3, chapter verses 3 through 17. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 15. Now he's talking to the church. Listen to what he says. And let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God reign in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen to this. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To sing to the Lord is to sing to the Lord with the right spirit. Oh God, hear our songs as we sing them to You. Sure, we sing them to one another, but we also have been chosen to sing them to the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. A right spirit of worship. There is a way to worship God, and it's with a right spirit. With what kind of a spirit are you worshiping God right now? Lastly, we need a right spirit of service. We need a right kind of a spirit if we're going to serve God, folks. It's the kind of spirit that God gives. It's not a spirit of doing it just out of a spirit of duty. You can serve God out of a spirit of duty. I've got to do it. I'm a child of God. I'm a church member. I have to do this. That's a bad spirit. That's the wrong kind of a spirit to do anything in the name of Jesus. If you want to do it in a way that will honor and glorify God, then you ought to do it first of all because you want to, not because you have to. I don't tell folks I have to go to church. I want to go. I don't tell folks I have to pray, I have to tithe, I have to give. I want to. And a right spirit within you will cause you to want to serve God. It'll cause you to enjoy serving God. Look with me again in Psalm 51 and listen to the words of David. In Psalm 51, beginning in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now listen to this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit. Not a proud and haughty spirit. Not a spirit that is stubborn, rebellious, and selfish. Not a spirit that lies, plays the part, but a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A right spirit. David's desire was that God would give him a right spirit where he could enjoy once again being saved. You can lose the joy of your salvation, folks, if you don't have a right spirit about it. I mean, you can be faithful in the church and lose the joy of being saved. I tell you how you ought to sing. You ought to sing with all your heart. You ought to sing it out. It ought to excite you. It ought to cause you to feel good about it when you sing. It ought to be more than just a song service. It ought to be a service of worship. Singing unto God with grace in your hearts. A right spirit will cause us to serve God in the way we should. A spirit of dedication, a spirit of surrender. Just saying, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? You know how much of your prayer goes like this? When you get right down to it, Lord, I've got a list here. Here's what I want you to do today. You start naming them all off. When's the last time you just stopped and said, Lord, Jesus said your Heavenly Father already knows what you have need of, but I want to know what you want me to do for you. What do you want me to do? To serve Him, to please Him. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. In Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse 5. Should read them all, but we'll start at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You know how we ought to work? We ought to work as we're doing it to the Lord, and not just men. Did you know that these verses of scriptures and others in the Bible would take care of every problem among management and employees and labor if they'd only learn to abide by them? It takes a right spirit. It takes a right spirit for a child of God to act like Paul's talking about. You say, I'm not going to do it. It's not my job. Why don't you just humble yourself and do it? Not to please man, but to please God. Just do it. A right spirit, you'll want to do it. In the book of Romans chapter 12, we'll close with this. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul, talking to the church members at Rome, said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by or because of the mercies of God, that you present, and that word present has a picture as bringing an offering unto God and surrendering it to Him. It's all yours. Listen to what he says. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word mind has to do with the kind of spirit, your kind of thinking, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The kind of spirit that's within you tonight will affect your thinking, the way you think. A bad spirit will make you think wrong. A bad spirit will make you think wrong thoughts, and the next thing you know, you're doing the wrong things, saying the wrong things, acting wrongly. That's why it's so important that we have a right spirit about us at all times. A right spirit is something that is a work of God. It's a work of God. This old flesh can work up any other kind of a spirit except a right one. You can find any kind of a spirit you want within this flesh except a right one. But there is a right one to be enjoyed. There is a right one that will work and will be good for you and everyone else. And it's a spirit that only God can give. But this is a spirit, folks. This is a spirit, not the Holy Spirit of God. But this is a spirit, an attitude, a disposition, and an emotional state that comes and goes. It comes and goes. But you can have it. You can have it if you see you need it and ask God to do it for you, believing that He's not only able, but that He will. This is the work of God in the believer. We ought to desire this same kind of work. We ought to want God to renew a right spirit within us. Listen, so many times, this is a lesson that I learned years ago, but you have to keep learning it because it comes and it goes. And if you let it go very long, the next thing you know, you're backslidden. But the funny thing of it is, most of the time we're backslidden and don't know it. Most of the time we walk around in a backslidden condition and don't know it. Just because we're not doing drugs, because we're not drinking, because we're not dancing and carousing around, because we're not cheating and stealing, we think everything's all right and our hearts and our minds are so cold. We come to a service like this, dry-eyed and just about as cold as an old rock. Singing was good, Brother Hall. The fellowship was good. We had a good time with each other. But did it do anything for your attitude? Does it do anything for your disposition in this life? Does it do anything for the state in which you're living? I'm not talking about Michigan. I'm talking about the state of your condition, spiritually speaking. Has it done anything for you? Has it caused you to have a spirit of repentance? Oh, God, forgive me because I failed. To ask you to renew a right spirit within me whereby I could worship you. That I wouldn't be a hindrance, but that I could be a help in a service like this one tonight. Do you think that a preacher, if he's honest with himself and honest with God and honest with you folks, do you think a preacher could just get up here and preach and not realize that he needs that kind of a spirit that he preaches about? A right spirit to preach with. A right spirit. What do you need tonight? What did you come for? And most especially, what do you plan to leave with? Are you going to leave this building tonight, folks? With the right spirit within you? Are you going to leave here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you think maybe God's going to let you breathe and live one more night? And then you tell me where you get the guarantee that you'll see the sunset tomorrow or daylight. You only have right now to be right with God. And if you're here and lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the only opportunity that you have in your life to be saved is right now. That's all you have is right now. You may not see tomorrow. What you need to do in your life right now needs to be done now. And I plead with you to see yourself as a sinful, condemned, guilty sinner before God, deserving to die, being separated from God forever in a burning hell. And that you might look to God and confess your sin and repent of your sin toward God and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved tonight. Come out and share it with us. If you're here and already saved, maybe you know you're saved, maybe you've never been scripturally baptized. I tell you how folks get scripturally baptized. It's when the Spirit of God gives them a right spirit of submission, surrender, where they're willing to surrender themselves to scriptural baptism by the authority of a real New Testament Baptist church. You have that kind of a spirit within you tonight, then you ought to come. Surrender yourself to scriptural baptism as a child of God. If you're here tonight, saved, maybe you need to be a member of this church. In the way this church receives members, then you ought to come. Ask God to give you a right spirit of submission where you'll come, if that's His will for you. If you're here and already a member of this church, and your life hasn't been what it ought to have been today, yesterday, whenever, and if you've never gotten it right with God, you ought to do it now. And I wouldn't be surprised if the greater majority of those that are here tonight and saved haven't already talked to God about this matter. The Lord speaks to you, doesn't He? Makes it very plain. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God just visits you? He just come down there and gets right where you're at, visits with you. And you yield because God gives you a right spirit of submission. What kind of a spirit will you leave here with tonight? What kind of a spirit will you go to bed with, wake up with, and come back tomorrow night with? I tell you what, if everybody comes back with a right spirit, if everybody leaves the right spirit, there's no telling what's going to happen. May God help us tonight. It's God's invitation to you. Call on Him. Talk to Him. Just like He's talked to you. As we stand and as we sing a hymn of invitation tonight. Whatever God would have you to do. You may say, Brother Hall,
I'd like to, but I can't.
Why don't you ask God to give you a right spirit where you can? Believe that He will. Trust Him that He will. And you're obeying. As the pastor stands to receive you, I know this church hurts. Long for those that are lost to be saved. Church members to be right. Nearer to God than ever before. Won't you come? Share it with us tonight, whatever God would have you to do.